Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Beautiful Behavior Podcast. I am your host, Diane Sorensen, certified life coach, hypnotherapy practitioner, mother, grandmother, and human fascinated with behavior and how to live our best life. My goal is to offer you another perspective, to see behavior in ourselves, our children, and others from another angle. This podcast is for anyone who wants to feel more connected in their relationships. It's for anyone who feels the pull for something more. It's for parents and those who are not. This podcast is for anyone who wants to take a deeper look, because this is where we talk about breaking generational patterns and outdated cultural beliefs, cultivating deeper connections in our life, and leading our life with more confidence and clarity. And I believe that's when beautiful behavior comes into focus. You can learn more about my process, me, and the three different ways in which beautiful behavior could come into focus for you at my website at dianesorensen.net. That's dianesorensen.net. Okay, listeners, let's go. Hello, everyone, and welcome. Today, I am honored to welcome two guests to the podcast, Christina Slayback. Am I saying that right, Christina? I meant to ask you before we got on.
You're great.
And Kimberlyn Owens. And so we've known each other for a few years here, just to give everybody a little bit of a background. I met both of you actually as I was going through my own discovery journey, doing my own inner work, and you were both doing your own inner work. And we shared some of the same mentors. And Kimberlyn, I met you in person, and Christina, I don't think I met you in person yet, right? I'm gonna say yet because we're gonna do that. But yeah, Kimberlyn and I met a few years ago now on a leadership retreat.
Oh yeah,
in Tulum,
2022, I believe, wasn't it?
Yeah. Wow.
It's been 2 years already.
That was really great because we actually got to spend some time together networking at that retreat. So that was really cool. And so we all kind of stayed in contact with each other as we continue to grow and continue to do our own work, but also supporting each other as we step into our own leadership roles and identity and the impact that we're making in the world. So welcome to both of you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having us.
And this is kind of a first for me because I have never interviewed two people at one time. Christina and
it's a first for us too to be interviewed together. So
exactly. We do a lot of interviews, the two of us, with you've been on our podcast as well.
Right.
But yeah, it's our first time to actually come on as like a double guest.
Oh, cool. Well, we're all in some newness together here then. How about that? So can each of you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and what you are doing now in the world?
Christina?
So I'm Christina. I am a life and business coach, and I am a work from home mom who also homeschools. And then with Kimberlyn, we have some joint ventures together. So we do a podcast together, which is Parenting and Productivity by Design, where we talk about that balance between the professional and the personal. And then we also bring in a lot of individuality in the form of different things. But we also really like to geek out a little bit on like human design and gene keys. So we'll bring that in sometimes. We have some great guests that we'll bring in and talk about different topics related to parenting and productivity. And then we also have The Village, which is our online co-work and community space. So Kimberlyn, I'll let you talk about that one a little bit too.
Sure.
When we do your intro.
All right. All right. So I am Kimberlyn. And in addition to what Christina was talking about, the village that we have together, I am, well, for, okay, let me, personal. I am originally from the States, but I live in South America now, down in Chile for the past almost 18 years. And I am by trade, I am a professional freelance translator. So I translate documents from English to Spanish, Spanish to English. That's kind of been what I have done for the greater part of the past 10 years. I've also taught English here. And while I love languages, I've started kind of moving more into the productivity space. And I'm kind of obsessed with like efficiency. So I love, like, because I work from home, I've had to kind of learn these, you know, tools and tricks for holding boundaries, for getting work done in a way that, you know, is focused, not getting distracted. So that's kind of my obsession, if you will. That's the thing that like, I really just, yeah, it lights me up. I love to geek out on like Christina talked about, like human design. We've recently kind of, Christina and I both, I think Christina learned about it first, and then we both kind of had like started exploring it and seeing how, you know, how our individual, you know, characteristics also play into how we get work done and the best way for each individual person to get work done, which isn't the same. And so, yeah, that's been a huge thing for me. When I started, so I actually started the podcast by myself and brought Christina in about a year later, after kind of taking a 6-month hiatus. because I realized that like one of the things for me, like what made me more efficient, is actually working in partnership. And, which is really funny because I have always been like the go it myself. I'm an only child. I'm like, you can, you know, psychoanalyze all the things. Right. But I realized, like, if I'm going to move into this new arena, I really want to do it with somebody else. I really want to do it having conversations. I really want to do it, you know, in partnership. And so, so that's when Christina and I started working together on the podcast. We have conversations, sometimes just the two of us, a lot of times with other people. And we also have the village, which we created as this kind of space for other work from home moms, for other, you know, business owners, for women who kind of feel isolated in the world as it is right now, and who are really looking for a place to connect with other women who are kind of in similar situations. And so that's where we created the village. We have, you know, bi-monthly meetups where we just like chat about like what's going on. We have co-work spaces as well. So we have like a weekly power hour to come in and just like get work done and get that focused, kind of mm-hmm. focused headspace mm-hmm. For the work that we may or may not, well, likely we are resisting. So, so yeah, that's a little bit about me.
So how did you two meet? Can I ask that?
Yeah, we met in the same community that you did. Right. We actually had gotten,
okay.
I had joined one of, Kimberlyn was doing at that time some accountability group sessions, which is kind of where this idea for these power hours and co-work spaces came. And I was just getting involved in everything and was like, yeah, let's do this. This sounds good. So hopped into one of her accountability sessions, and we got paired up a couple of times after that. And we just hit it off. We dug each other's energy. Yeah. I feel like we had, we have a lot of similarities in how we are both very independent, but we do embrace and enjoy this community aspect and like having the opportunity to connect with other women and to get inspired and motivated by them. And we just found that we had a lot of similar things. And then we also have like our own unique ways that we work. So it complements. And so it's just been really great to be able to partner together, because we do have, like, we can sympathize with the people that are like, I don't want to jump onto this thing, or I don't know if I'm up for networking sometimes. But every time that we have some of those community conversations and those bi-monthly meetings that we have, we always leave feeling like that was time so well spent, and just really motivated from it. So we have like this duality between us. And if you're into human design, it's like the 2-4, where it's like where you want to be alone and then you want community. And so when we were looking at, you know, opportunities to be able to continue to, have space and to create, that community and have that accountability piece, and Kimberlyn does a great job of like motivating and grounding us in the beginning of it. So it's really a focused session. You're not just coming on and just like turning on your camera and like just working. Like there's a moment of clarity and like that grounding and intuition of what we're going to be working on, that intention setting before you go into it. And then at the end, it's that accountability and reflection piece. Like, did this go well? Why or why not? Like sharing wins and just being able to build each other up that way too. Which is just a fantastic opportunity for us. I really enjoy that space. And then, for other people to be able to come in and get that, like you said, so you get the things done that you've been resisting.
Yeah, right. And you're so intentional with it. That's what I'm hearing. Yeah. You're very intentional with it. Rather than coming in with this list, to-do list, and all in your head or even written down, and I'm going to get, you know, all of this stuff done, check, check, check. What I'm hearing you say is that you're very intentional about it. You know, absolutely, the grounding yourself and what is my intention here. So I always think the word productive is very, I don't know, it can be
triggering.
Noted word. So I want to ask, you know, and whoever wants, you know, maybe you both want to answer it in your own way. But what does productivity mean to you?
Okay. So I love this question. it's funny because I think I've always wanted to productive. I've always have, you know, even like from college, of having like a long to-do list. And like, I actually remember days where I had like a really long to-do list on like a Saturday, and I did like everything, and I did like the workouts, you know. And of course, as you become a mom and as we grow, it feels like we become less able to be productive. And that's something that I've noticed with a lot of women, is that we strive for that kind of hit, that high that of productivity, of checking things off. Mm-hmm. And yet it feels like we're having a hard time getting that high. Because one is it's definitely an addiction. But I think that also, as we get older, or as I've gotten older, I realize that productivity is really about making time, like optimizing your time, so that you're not only just getting things done, but you're actually enjoying your day. So you have time, you know, in your day to do the things that you love to do. Because the thing about productivity is that it's not necessarily the checking off the list. It's more of a feeling, right? We want to feel productive. And I've noticed that if I can identify, like, what is it that's going to make me feel productive today, then I can focus on those two or three things and get that feeling and get that high, if you will, without spending my entire day just like checking boxes. And so it's really more about just the feeling than the actual things that I'm doing. And so I realized in this kind of journey of mine, is that when I took time to, you know, do the things that I loved during the day, not like as a, like a treat or reward after, but like during the day, like I would, you know, working from home, I would grab a book and go sit out on the patio at 10 o'clock in the morning and read a book, you know, and my, of course, productive brain was like, you should be working at this time of the day, you know? And I was like, I don't feel like working. I feel like sitting out on the patio. Just that, like rebelliousness of doing something for me allowed me to come back to my computer and actually work much more productively or much more efficiently than I would have if I had forced myself to sit down on the computer and just, you know, not move until it was done. And so I started realizing, like, wow, like, there is time in the day for us to do the things that we want to do, right? A lot of times we say, we put things off. We say, no, there's just not enough time. I got to work first. And this is also, you know, that kind of, you know, Protestant work ethic. I think that a lot of us are raised with is, you know, work first, play later. And then I started playing around and realizing, you know, you can play during the day. You can do things for you during the day. And it actually, it like the two things play on each other, right? Mm-hmm. So like the play makes me more productive and the productivity allows me more time to play. And so that's where I kind of come at it. And so my approach to helping people get more productive is actually like pulling back, right? We're not going to do all of these things. We're actually going to do things that are fun. And like let people kind of get that surprise of like, wow, I didn't realize that was actually possible.
I love how you explain that, because I have to admit that when I was getting ready for this interview, I'm like, okay, so you know, I knew that your podcast is called Parenting Productivity. Do I have that right?
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah. I'm like, okay, productive. How do I feel about that word? And I'm like, you know, it feels like productive means the work part, right? All work. And so I started thinking about, so productive to me, how do I feel when I'm productive? And I'm, you know, and I had this thought come, well, I feel like I've moved the needle, which I know to me is like, okay, well, that's a thought. So I'm moving the needle, and how does that make me feel? And so what I came up with was empowered. That makes me feel empowered when I'm moving the needle. So I love how you explained all of that, and that it really comes back to that feeling. And there was so much in that, Kimberlyn, that rebellion piece, that all work, then play. And what happens, I think, is we get the message along the way that play is frivolous, it's for the weak, it's laziness, or there's this all or nothing thing. Like, okay, you do all of the work and then you can forget about work for a while and just play. And so there's this, you know, all or nothing thing. So I love how you bring those together, because this took me a while too. And, you know, and I still work on it, that I came to an awareness that I had this belief that I really wasn't aware of until, you know, a mentor of mine pointed it out, that, you know, what is fun for you? Well, then I had to figure out what was fun for me. Because I hadn't had fun for a while, you know, I was off work. But what I realized in journaling that out and really reflecting on that was work and play did not go together in my belief system. You know, they were completely separate. And so, yeah, I'm learning to try and merge that. And so this connects to our parenting too, right? Where the messages we're sending to our kids is you got to get all your work done before you can play. So what can you say to that?
Yeah, I think, I think that there's a lot of things when we're looking at it. And I think that what you're saying with like the productivity and like that being a very masculine word and like a get it done energy. Mm-hmm. And what we've noticed, we're both like type A personality coming in, like very, very check the boxes, get all the things done kind of energy. And I think as we went into parenthood and doing it and realizing that you're not able to hit that, I think a lot of ambitious women do the same thing. Like, I'm going to get all the stuff, I'm going to do all the things. And then you have this child that comes along and you are no longer in total control of your time. You're barely in moderate control of your time. And so having to have that in the combination with like the losing your identity piece that I think a lot of women go through at that same time, and putting all of the focus on now this new child that you're raising, a lot of it gets lost. And as you're talking about, like, what do I even want to do for fun? Like play, what does that even mean? I have no idea what I like anymore. And so I think that that's something that as an adult, like we're having to relearn and we're having to kind of reconnect with those parts of us. So when we're looking at this too, from a parenting perspective, and for me, so my kids are homeschooled. They've been homeschooled since the beginning. I was working and running an organization part-time while I was, you know, homeschooling the kids, and having to figure this out and noticing this piece of me of like, I didn't even know what I wanted to do for fun. I didn't know what play was. I didn't like, I was working or I was parenting, or I just wanted space and like to numb out. Like those were the three modes that I had. And so coming in and learning how to discover the things that I really enjoy, to really put time and emphasis on that. And like Kimberlyn was saying before, not having that be the treat after, because you never get to the after, like the to-do list never gets done. So you don't get to that treat. And then you're never worthy of that treat either, because you never have it done. So it's like this whole mentality around doing, 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 and never feeling enough. Whereas when you can embrace it as part of your overall lifestyle, and this is something that I'm not earning, but that I deserve just because I exist and because it's going to refresh me and it's going to give me energy and it's going to fuel my creativity. That's the kind of feeling I want my kids to not lose, because I think that children come into the world and they have that already. It's not like they think, oh, I've got to get all my chores done and then maybe I'll get to play. Like they're like, no, like I want to do what feels good all the time. And I think that coming into that, like as we were looking at scheduling our school stuff, my work stuff, like all of that stuff and trying to figure that out, there was a little bit of energy around like, well, I should just have them get all of their stuff done in the morning. Then they can just get all their other stuff done, you know, to have their free time later. And what I started to question is, as I'm going through this journey, was, is that actually true? Like, why does it matter? And especially when we were in the pandemic and one of my children's, their best friends moved to about 5 hours away from us. And so we don't get to see them that much, but during the pandemic, everybody was on FaceTime. So they got to talk and kind of chat and reconnect that way. And they would do it sometimes in the morning. And I was like, oh, now we're not getting our stuff done. But honestly, if I just let them have that space to have a little bit of time of fun, then like that connection piece and that building it up based on the relationship rather than based on what they're like deserving of my appreciation for them. Like, okay.
Say that again. You said the relationship piece. Say that again.
Yeah. So I want to build with my children. I want to build our stuff based on relationship, not on their doing. So giving them the opportunity to connect with other ways, whether that was playing, whether that was connecting with friends they hadn't seen, then not just because it was when they got their stuff done or what was based on my timeline of what they were doing, it was based on our connection piece and me realizing this is important for them. And then they were much more likely to then afterwards be like, oh, absolutely, I'll get this done. And this thing that might have taken us an hour and a half of struggle because they were upset is now taking 15 minutes. It's the same principles.
Thank you for saying this, Christina. I think that is such a big thing in we want, you, there's so much of our value or our worthiness, I think, attached to being productive, being hard workers. And I think that gets handed to our children unconsciously, unknowingly. And there ends up being so much resistance to doing, say, I'm just going to call them chores because that's what a lot of people call them, chores. And then there ends up being this power struggle. So when you said you are focused on nurturing the relationship, not so much on this has to get done, what are you doing, da da da, and you're nurturing the relationship, that it's actually what I'm hearing you say is it actually ends up being more productive.
Yeah, I think it gets rid of the power struggle. Then I'm not forcing my will on them, or they're trying to force their will. There's not a win-lose. It's a, yeah, I see that this is important to you. And now also this is important to me that we get this done. And then they're so much more amenable to that because they know that I am also focused on what's important to them and interested in that.
Right. Yeah. I just, yeah. Thank you for saying all that. And I think, you know, in the work I do is, you know, I'm all about relationship, and it really, what I hear you saying is that you're co-creating this with them. So it puts you in that empowerment role, the creator. And that is what takes you out of that drama, out of those power struggles. Yeah, I love that. Thank you. So let's talk a little bit about, I think what's really fascinating about the two of you and what really makes you unique is your experience and knowledge in human design and using human design as a tool for productivity and parenting. So can you tell us a bit about what is human design?
Want me to? Okay. So human design is a system. It's been around since 1987, I want to say. So it's, I think it's 87, correct? That's the, yeah.
Okay. 80s for sure.
Yeah. And it's a little bit woo. So there is the origin story, you know, kind of comes down to some guy having this divine download that this is the way it is. And it's basically based on your time of birth, your day of birth, place of birth, and kind of the positioning and physics of all of the planets and everything, that we are each uniquely designed to do life in a certain way. And so like the biggest thing, and this is what most people, when they start off with human design, is they realize that there are these different energy types. So our energy works in five different ways. And so you have people who are, most of the population is some form of a generator. So you have generator, manifesting generator. And that just means that we're the ones who, when we do, which is funny coming back to the conversation of productivity, but when we're doing things that light us up, we are creating energy for other people. We actually can, a lot of times, if we're doing something that we are super excited about, we can just go and go and go and go. It doesn't actually drain us, but it creates more energy both for ourselves and the people around us. So it's like a generator, right? We are generating energy and lighting up a room for everyone else. And then there are projectors who have a little bit less energy. They're more able to kind of look at things from a kind of, I want to say, auditing perspective of like, how can things get better? How can we improve things? They're kind of the leaders in that sense, or the new age leaders, because there's also the manifestors.
This is your type too, Diane.
What's
Diane's
that?
Projector. I said Diane's
a projector. I am a projector. Yes, I have learned that.
So, and then you have the manifestors, who are the ones who are like creating things. They're the ones who have this like crazy ability to just like have an idea, put it into, you know, implementation, but they don't have as much energy to keep it going. So they just like create things and then let the generators, you know, do their work, kind of keeping it going, right? And then you have the last type, which is very rare. They're called the reflectors, and they are kind of here just like reflecting back what they see in everyone else. They reflect their environment. They're also very, very sensitive beings, because they are kind of just like absorbing the world around them. I think it's really cool to also dive into, and this is what Christina and I do a lot, is that we not only look at these energy types, but we look at, there are profile lines, which have to do a little bit more with your personality. There are gates, and there are channels, and so it makes up this like very, very intricate system that if you want to, you can kind of delve into it and geek out a little bit, you know, on that. But I think the biggest thing for me is that human design, it teaches us that we are the ones who ultimately are the experts on us. And so we are all guided by our own authority. And so in human design, it also talks about there are different places in your body where an authority can be. So for example, generators, our authority is generally in our gut. So, so most people have this kind of gut sacral authority where we just know, right? You just get this feeling in your gut, like this is something that I like. This is something I don't like. This, you know, go here, go there. And I feel like even going back to the conversation that we had, you know, just a little bit earlier of, you know, like kids, like they automatically know what they want. And I think as adults, we've been so conditioned to do things in a certain way that we've forgotten how to listen to ourselves. We've forgotten how to find the answers within ourselves. We generally look outward, right? We look to the external, we look for validation. And human design just kind of brings it back of like, no, like, you know, the answer, you know, what is right for you. And I think what's beautiful about human design, and kind of even going back to the conversation that Christina was having, like with kids, and productivity, and what I love about just all of it is just that reminder that, that when we are born just like pure. We're born knowing what our needs are. We're born knowing, you know, when we're hungry, when, you know, we need comfort. And we gradually forget that. And I think that nowadays, I think the younger generations have a little bit more knowledge even than us. And I think that even, I don't know, I see myself parenting in a different way, knowing that, you know, coming at it from like, it's not that my kid is a blank slate. My kid actually came here. She has a purpose. She has, you know, feelings, and she has her own unique way of living life, and allowing and creating that space for her to just to live. It teaches me also how to kind of go back to like, what is it that I want? What is my sacral saying? You know, what's lighting me up?
So much in what you're saying here. And so let's go back to what you first said about it can be kind of woo, right?
Yeah.
But really, as you were talking here, so one of the things that you said was we are so conditioned to look outward, right? Mm-hmm. And this is one of the things that I teach, that, you know, now we're so conditioned to look outward that really we need to turn that light back into that focus, that attention back into what is happening with me. Now, I'm not using the word human design, and I'm not, I know a little bit about human design, and I'm fascinated with it, because, you know, every time I talk to the both of you, it's like, that is the way I need, you know, that is how I do things. But this idea of it being woo, you know, mm-hmm. And I think we say woo when we don't really, we can't put logic around it, right? That we don't have an understanding of it. There's, you know, some uncertainty. And I think, you know, I see it as when we are delving into knowing ourselves on an emotional level, which is really where we're going, I think, to be able to be the parents we want to be able to do all the things that we want to do and create the life we want, really is getting to know ourselves on an emotional level. And to me, that is spirituality. And I think we're calling spirituality woo-woo because
Absolutely. We
can't, you know, there's not science to say, you know, this is how it is. Although I'm going to say that, I think science is catching up to it.
Yeah. Can I just, so When I first came upon human design a while ago, the first time, and I was like, what is this? Like a new form of astrology? Like, I don't, and I was like, oh, this is okay. Generator. Got it. Don't know what that means. Okay. Like moving on. And honestly, like I come from a very like logical, very like structured, show me the evidence kind of a background. And so this doesn't necessarily fit into that at all. But at the same time, when you start like looking into it, and what I find with any system, so whether that's human design, whether that's gene keys, whether that's Myers-Briggs, whether that's, you know, the Enneagram, like any of these things that I think that help you to look in and accept yourself for the way that you are, and those parts of you that feel like you've always felt like people are telling me to do it this way, but that doesn't feel good in my body. And like, you just keep running up against it. And I think that it gives you that permission. So the reason why I like human design so much and I have resonated so much with it is because the more that I dig in, the more I'm just like, oh, well, this makes total sense. Like this feels like what I feel like. And the more people that I talk to, and it helps me to be able to differentiate myself and how I work from how other people work. So whether that's in my relationship with my husband, whether that's in my relationship with my children, whether that's with my clients, like realizing that just because something works for me one way, and that's one of the things that Kimberly and I are very passionate about too, is just because something works for me this particular way, that does not automatically mean that it's going to work the same for somebody else. And I think that it gives a framework for why that might be true. Mm-hmm. It gives a framework for, oh, you know what? I am actually perfectly, completely, exactly the way that I'm supposed to be. And you over there doing things completely differently are also perfectly, completely, and exactly the way you are supposed to be. And I think that it's just that like discovery piece. And the part about human design too is that it's not some outside thing going in. So like the Enneagram and Myers-Briggs and stuff, which are also, let's just say, came through from people that decided that this is what that is. But those can come in and say, okay, well, this is how you're supposed to do, where human design says, this is what we think. Also, trust yourself. Like, that's the biggest thing. Like, just check in with you. If none of this resonates, move on. Like, just check in with yourself.
I think that is so beautiful. So beautiful that you know, we can recognize that you doing the way you do things your way is exactly how you are meant to be. Because we are so conditioned that there's one right way for all of us, right? One fits all. Yeah. Yeah. And I truly believe that we are all, I mean, we have a lot of sameness as human beings, right? And I think we focus a lot on the differences, but there's a lot of sameness, but there is uniqueness. And traditionally, I think we use that as comparison, like, oh, I'm not as good as, da, da, da. And what I hear you saying is you can use that uniqueness as your power, as your superpower, as your way of contributing and impacting the world, your family, your parenting, your whatever.
Right. Yeah. It's ultimately, I mean, we are all kind of these like pieces in the big puzzle of life. And so we all have our contributions. We all have our gifts and our talents. And we, you know, we fit in with other people. There's also electromagnetic component to human design, where even like my energy will sometimes connect with other people's energy, because there are certain channels that we complete when we're together. And so when we're with certain people, we can even, one of the things I think is really beautiful, for example, like my partner and I, there's a channel that is between the throat center and, you know, communication, and the emotional center. And so I have one of those, you know, lines, and then he has the other gate. And so when we were together, and it made so much sense once I realized this, is that that's why when I'm with him, I can actually express my emotions, because by myself, I, you know, it's something that has always been hard for me to do. But And, you know, I think that's why we realize when we, you know, meet other people, like, oh, I connected with that person, whereas, or this person I didn't connect with. And that's just how things are. And that's how this like beautiful, intricate, you know, system of life is designed. And so, I really love that kind of just like trusting that, you know, things are as they are. And like you said, it's not about comparison. It's about finding your purpose and finding your place in this world and the people who complement you as well.
Yeah. So I think what I hear you saying is that human design is one tool or one framework you can use to have a better understanding of you, of yourself. And I love that because I really believe that the more we understand ourselves, the more we can understand, say, our children. And I can see how then this could be really impactful in parenting.
Yeah, human design was actually created originally for parenting specifically. Like people use it for themselves and to be able to kind of go back and like understand themselves more. But the intention for it was because we're already conditioned, we're having to go through a deconditioning process. And if we were to be able to look at our children, appreciate their differences, appreciate their strengths and their areas and like their ability to understand themselves and just use that as like a guide, like we're a guide for them rather than like trying to make them mini versions of ourselves or kind of putting a lot of authoritarianness onto or, and that's not to say that's all permissiveness either. I think that there's structure that needs to be in place, but at the same time, being able to use our knowledge about them and their types and being able to give them the space to be able to just exist and grow up without so much of that conditioning. So it was actually used to be able to understand better so we can eliminate some of that conditioning that we're all trying to like go back and trying to reconnect with, like, who am I? What do I like? How does that feel in my body when something feels good or not? I've been living in burnout for so long because I've been pushing too much because I'm trying to act like this generator over here, you know, like as a projector, you're supposed to be able to take some time and have that like ability to just disconnect. And I'm trying to do this, or I'm trying to make things happen like this manifester, you know, like, and being able to have that, we're just trying to decondition all of that to go back to that energy where when kids are there, they're in this kind of pure state already. And if we're just allowing them to continue to be in that pure state or stay more connected with that, they'll have so much less of the things that we, you know, we're trying to go and undo now.
Right. Because I think so much of what we do, we want to know it logically.
Yes.
And what we're doing here is reconnecting emotionally. Right. And I believe that, you know, I think what we're all talking about here really, and maybe you'll agree or not, is emotional intelligence and understanding ourselves at an emotional level. And I believe that is essential in our modern world for mental health. So I have absolutely loved this conversation with you, Christina and Kimberlyn, and I could keep going, but you know, I'm looking at the time here. So is there any last word or anything you wouldn't want the listeners to take away from this? And I'll let you both have a minute to say some last words. So Christina?
Yeah, I just thank you so much for inviting us on here. I think that if you resonate with any of the stuff that we're talking about, whether that's human design, whether that's, you know, the productivity or the parenting piece, we do have space and it's a free space for people to come and join a safe community for like-minded women. We do have those bi-monthly meetings as well as the weekly power hours. And we just love the opportunity to connect with other women that are interested in the same things. We can geek out on some of this stuff. We don't always talk about human design, but we do like to bring it in when it's appropriate. And just be able to have that space. And then you can also follow us on that on our podcast at Parenting and Productivity by Design as well. And we both have individual programs and services that we offer. So thank you so much, Diane, for having us.
You're welcome. And I will also make sure I put links for what you do together and both of you separate also in the show notes. And so Kimberlyn, what are your last words?
I just wanted to say thank you, Diane. I think Christina kind of summarized it pretty well. We love having, you know, new people into our community. It is very small, which is actually really, really nice. And I think that a lot of people appreciate the fact that we are able to have, you know, kind of candid conversations and really go deep. Because I think a lot of networking, you know, groups out there are still kind of, I mean, there are, you know, ones that are big that are, you know, you've got networking groups for all, you know, all walks of life. But what I really love about ours is just that small, you know, kind of safe place to go deep. And we also, if you're new to human design, if you want to go a little bit deeper, we both also offer readings as well. So that is also an option. If anyone, you know, is listening to this and is like, wait, I want to know more. We both offer that as well.
Yeah. Thank you both so much for being here. And I will say I have been involved in your community and it really is a beautiful place to connect with others that I would have never connected with outside of that. So yeah, I invite anybody to connect with you too and give yourself the opportunity to check it out. So, all right. Thank you so much for being here and we'll talk again next week. Bye everyone.
Thank you for tuning into the Beautiful Behavior Podcast. If you enjoyed today's show or previous shows, I would so appreciate you subscribing and leaving a review. I am so grateful for all of you listeners who are joining me here for these conversations because I believe it's through these type of conversations that we start to shift the paradigm, creating a more loving and compassionate world. I hope you will join me here each week as we discover new ways to show up in our lives and create a bigger impact. And if you are ready to take this to the next level, head on over to my website at dianesorensen.net. Again, that's dianesorensen.net. Get on my calendar and see how you can be supported and if we're a good fit so that you can get out of survival and into thrival. Change is possible, and I've got you.